morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to the Scriptures, may your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we are considering a very well-known incident, namely Peter's confession of Christ. My wife is fond of telling me that one of the questions in her GCE O-level religious education exam was, what happened at Caesarea Philippi? Of course, she only reminds me this because she knew the answer and passed the exam. Having just heard our gospel reading from Mark, we too should know the answer. Jesus asks a question of his disciples and they answer it. Then Jesus asks a follow-up question and Peter answers that. It all sounds very simple and straightforward on a superficial reading, but this, in fact, is one of the key moments in the life of Jesus on earth. So let's look at it in a little more detail. As usual, Mark's account is brief and gives the bare facts. Matthew's parallel account gives us more detail. So I would like to read that to you. Matthew 16:13 onwards. If you want to follow it, it's on page 983 in your pew Bible. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And back to our reading in Mark 8, verse 30 onwards, page 1012. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. It is quite often the case that the gospel writers tell us that the disciples didn't understand, or were slow to learn, or misunderstood what Jesus had been saying. But Jesus had not just told a story or a parable that could have several levels of interpretation. This was an explanation using direct wording that could not be misunderstood or reinterpreted to mean something else. Jesus made it crystal clear that he would suffer, be killed, and rise again after 3 days. Note too that he said these things must happen, not might happen. So if Peter knew exactly what was meant by Jesus, why did he do it?
Fire.
good, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? What can a man do to gain the whole world? Verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. There he was transfigured before them. It is not part of our subject for today, but I'm sure you will be aware of the transfiguration account. The point for us today is that Jesus did not give up on Peter because he had to rebuke him harshly. On the contrary, he included Peter in a select band of only 3 disciples who were privileged to witness Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus didn't reject Peter because it got it wrong, but he led him to higher heights of insight and understanding. Which takes me back to verse 31 of our Bible reading this morning. He, Jesus, began to teach them. This was not the end, but the beginning. May the Lord help us all to move forward on our journey of faith. Amen.